I think I needed to step back and say, it's okay if I'm not super stressed all the time. I can get a slower pace and I can still help people. I can still take the pebble out of my shoe. They're probably going to get better care because I'm not tired and I can focus on things. But it was almost like I needed to hear it from someone like, yeah, that you don't have to work like that every day.
Like, you needed permission.
Yeah.
Pull the rock out of your shoe. Like, I'm like, okay, here's your permission slip. You do that.
Welcome to The Clinical Entrepreneur, a business podcast that's dedicated to healthcare practitioners just like you who are hustling every day to build a business and a life you're proud of. Join me, Rhonda Nelson, as I share my own experiences and extract actionable advice from industry experts about what it takes to build and scale a profitable wellness practice.
Well, hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Clinical Entrepreneur Podcast. I have another guest for you today. I know, right? I've had a bunch of people on lately, and I love it because I love hearing the stories about what it's like for all y'all in like real life brick and mortar practice. Like, what's happening? What's going on in your world? What's working? What's not working? And today's guest, Dr. Katie Malley, she's amazing. You are going to learn so much about what it means to transition from what you thought was going to work, and then you find out it didn't work, and then what to do about it. And her approach to a very, very common question that I get asked all the time about practice, which is, you ready? It's, how do I do just chiropractic and then functional medicine, or just acupuncture and then functional medicine? Should they be separate appointments? Can they be combined? When they're combined, I feel like I'm getting taken advantage of. There's not enough time to do all the things and cover all the bases when it all gets jumbled up together. And Katie has figured out a way to separate those two things very clearly in her practice. And so far, it's working really well. So I'm going to let you listen in to my conversation with Dr. Katie Malley. Well, hey, Katie, I'm so glad you're here. I've loved having you inside Clinical Academy. So when you said yes to being on the podcast with me, I was so excited because I think you are going to be able to share some amazing insights about how you do clinical practice with all the other practitioners that are listening. So I'm so glad you're here.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yep. Well, let's start for those that don't know you. Yeah. Give me a little bit of a rundown and a background. How did you get into functional medicine? What's your training? What's your story? Like, you know, what's your story of transformation? We all have one, why we chose to do what we do. So why don't you start there?
So I was diagnosed with pretty severe scoliosis when I was around 14. I had a 47 degree curve and they wanted to do surgery, the whole thing. And thankfully, my parents were much more holistic minded. I started going to a chiropractor and I had major changes. I mean, I didn't know that it was not normal to have a hard time taking a deep breath and my fingers were swollen and all these things. So it truly changed my life. And I went to chiropractic school with the intention of doing more of the real true structural correction. Within my first month of school, I was introduced to nutrition and classical AK, and I knew that was my niche right away. Yeah. So I was very blessed to figure that out early because I actually did 300 hours of kinesiology and nutrition while I was still in school. So I came out of school finishing that, and that was really helpful. So I knew a lot of chiropractors, I feel like, might learn and do their training after. I mean, I've done a lot since then, but I came out with a lot of that knowledge and knew the direction I wanted. And when I first started, you know, working in kind of, you know, straightforward chiropractic offices, I'd say I marketed myself more as a chiropractor that did nutritional therapy. You know, I wasn't, you know, super confident, but I knew enough. I knew the muscle relationships and AK, you have a knee problem, let's check your gallbladder. You know, you are having some allergies, you know, Antrinex, things like that. And I just kind of slowly built. I really loved it and craved it. I think I went to every seminar that has come through. And whenever there was one offered, I was going to them. I was learning as much as I could. And added in the functional blood chemistry. I've taken that course a few times now. You get something out of it each time
you take it. Yeah.
I still listen to the audio files. I've got that on my phone. So it's just kind of grown from there. When I went out on my own, I knew that was the direction I wanted. I wanted to focus on functional medicine. I knew the importance of both of them. You know, every chiropractic patient is a nutrition patient. So,
absolutely.
You know, I wanted to add that together. And the more I've learned, the more classes I've taken, that just has really grown.
So what would you say, let's talk about your niche for a hot minute. how did you land on, or have you landed on, really working? Like you said, when you came out of school, you thought you were just going to do straight up structural work. And then you fell in love with functional medicine, took all the things, got the AKA, all of that. But how did you narrow down the type of person that you really want to work with, the person that lights you up?
I think that, you know, once you help one person, they're telling all their friends. So I ended up kind of unintentionally doing a lot of digestive work, you know, upper gut, gut infections, parasites, things like that, you know, gallbladder. I feel like so many people have a digestive issue. Who doesn't?
Almost
have
everybody.
A digestive problem?
Yeah, exactly. It's a great niche to have because everybody has either constipated at one end or you're burping and refluxing at the other. And then all the screwed up stuff in the middle.
Yeah. So I think, you know, you get one person, then you get their children, and then you get their husband and their mother. So I kind of just unintentionally, that's, you know, I do a lot of that. I do a lot of adrenal work because I love that HPA adrenal. You know, I think I took that course with you years ago, how, you know, people have adrenal fatigue, but really the hypothalamus and the adaptogens are getting missed. So I do a lot of that work as well. Yeah. But I feel like digestion, parasites, help one person with parasites, and then you get everybody wants their parasites. So that was kind of an unintentional thing too. But yeah. I do a lot of digestive repair, liver, gallbladder stuff.
And so describe for me your most favorite type of person that comes into you.
The one who wants to get better. The one who really, I mean, it sounds like such a simple thing, but so many people want a quick fix. And, you know, you get that patient who listens to everything. They take your advice. They're so compliant and they get better. I had one today. She's a great patient, but I had a little trouble convincing her to do the 21-day cleanse. And she came in today. She's lost weight. I mean, she looked like a different person and she couldn't believe how good she felt. She was like, I want to thank you for, you know, encouraging me to do it. She's like, I would have never done it otherwise. But it was one of those patients where you just feel it kind of, I don't know, revs you up. Like, this is why I do what I do. So,
and you know, I think we all need those once in a while because, I mean, we all know it's hard. Sometimes it's hard working with people. People are hard and people are just people. And they do people-y things. And sometimes people-y things are not fun to deal with. And so you get those hard ones. And then the one comes along that's like, thank you so much. You changed my life. And you're like, yes, this is why I do what I do. So I love that. So talk to me a little bit about how you've kind of structured your practice. So when you first opened your brick and mortar, have you always been virtual or brick and mortar? What do you
know? I'm brick and mortar. Yeah, I'm brick and mortar. I do a little bit of the blood work virtually, but because everyone was pretty much getting adjusted, I was brick and mortar doing the chiropractic. Yeah. So, you know, this is one of the things I've learned when I started, when you know the connection with the AK and the muscles and you know everything, how do you leave anything out? So I was originally doing all of my sessions by time. It was whatever showed up that day. We weren't going to overdo it, but we're going to check what we can. If it's a knee problem, we'll check your knee muscles, we'll adjust you, but we'll also check your gallbladder and things like that. And I quickly realized that that was a problem because the list of what people want to have checked gets longer and longer and your time is limited. And so I ended up separating appointments a little bit. They could come in just for an adjustment because what I realized is I'd have these patients and I'd say, hey, you know, I think your neck pain might be inflammation or blood sugar. Do you want to check that out? And they, of course, they're going to tell you to your face, yeah, let's do it. And I'd put them on, you know, some supplements and they wouldn't take them or they wouldn't come back. And, you know, I thought this is really strange. Like they said, they wanted to do it. Don't they want to get better? Yeah. And I started offering an adjustment only visit. So you don't want to do any muscle testing. You don't want to do any AK stuff. That's fine. Just come in for an adjustment. And a lot of people chose that. And it was very eye-opening to see that, you know, they were telling me they wanted to do nutrition and deeper healing. Uh-huh. They had no desire to.
Yeah.
So having that was kind of the first thing that I change was offering for people to do a little bit less. And just recently, I realized that doing chiropractic and nutrition together is just very difficult. And I've started separating those appointments. That was the pebble in my shoe. Walking was just every day I was leaving there so tired. And I'm thinking, I've been doing this for 12 years, but I can't imagine doing it for another 12 because I'm that tired at the end of the day. I've got to change something. Yeah. And I was honestly ready to give chiropractic up. I thought, well, maybe I'll just do nutrition. I'm tired. My body's tired. Yeah, but then I couldn't do that because I love it.
So I thought,
what do I do to, you know, what's the solution to separating or to making a change? And that was separating the nutrition from the chiropractic. So I'm in the middle of doing that now. People are just switching over, actually starting on Friday. No one will be able to do both. March 1st was kind of like our cutoff date. We started switching people over a month or two ago. And that's helped tremendously already.
So you basically, your original model, which so many practitioners get caught in, whether you're an acupuncturist, when you have a hands-on discipline, right? You've got the patient, they're a captive in your treatment room, right? And it happens all the time. And they start asking questions. Well, you know, could you just muscle test me real quick for this? Or here, I brought in four supplements. Can you tell me what you think about these nutrients? Or, well, what should I be taking for this or that? And it just gets all convoluted. And then what happens is the patient leaves. They didn't get the best version of you, right? Because you can do the adjustment, but you're not giving them their best service as far as helping them resolve the health issue. But it's a trap that everybody gets into. And it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, I thought I would never be like that. I had other practitioners warn me, you know, don't do this. I thought, no, I can handle it. I can manage it. But it just starts snowballing. And before you know it, it's like, oh my gosh, what do you do? And it became normal to be stressed out and running on adrenaline all day. And I didn't even realize that I was that stressed. But it's been good so far. And I just tell the patient, listen, I can't do both well in that amount of time. Something's going to get missed. I either do my nutrition testing or I do the chiropractic. And, you know, we can't squeeze in both because that's not beneficial for you, number one. But number two, it's a lot for me to try to fit in. And, you know, most people have been very receptive. There have been a few that haven't been okay with it. But when
what'd you do with those people?
Well, I said, well, this is just the way it is. You know, I have a great assistant and she just tells them like, well, this is how she's doing it. And she'll even say, you know, if you want her to be around for a few more years, this is how we're doing it. Like, oh yeah, of course we understand. And
we understand.
We did have a couple that did not, they weren't very receptive, but when they came in for their separate appointments, they actually said to me, I understand why you're doing this now, because those things were never getting checked beforehand. And, you know, they were actually very grateful because, you know, one of them had a knee issue and she said, you know, I never told you about it because we never had time. And, you know, we did one session of some AK work to her knee and her knee pain was gone. And she said, I should have told you earlier, but there was no time. We were working on her gut. So now she's like, I understand why you're doing it this way. It benefited her more than anyone. And, you know, it makes me feel bad. Like, we could have fixed that months ago.
I know.
But we're learning.
Well, you know, this is so fascinating. And I think it ties back, Katie, to the conversation about knowing your niche, knowing what you do and what you do well. But there's such different languages. You know, chiropractic is a language in and of itself. You know, when your hands are on the body, you're doing something completely unique and different than you are. Even the way that the brain is processing information, right? It's just completely different. Yeah. It's like speaking one language. And then you're over here speaking this functional medicine language. And although the both of them are both rooted in Latin, let's say, they're just both completely different languages. So understanding that they, irrespective of each other, they're actually kind of their own little niche.
Yeah, they really are. And that's the thing, when you know that they are related, when you know chiropractic cases are nutrition cases, I think part of it was being honest with myself that it was okay to not try to do everything. Like there's this pressure that we're supposed to do it. And it's like, no, I can't do that. And that's okay. But, you know, the more you're with a patient, they come in and, you know, they're constipated, their allergies are flared, their knee hurts, their neck hurts. And it's like, okay, well, now it's on me to pick and choose. And that's a lot of pressure. And I don't want them disappointed. But, you know, it's perfectly okay to focus on one thing and really help them.
And by focusing on that one thing, you're serving them much better. Just like your knee lady, right? You then have more time to get through your assessment with the patient rather than trying to cram it all in. You're not doing a good job for them. So let's talk about that conversation that day that we had where we were talking about the pebble in your shoe.
Yeah, it seems so, you know, obvious now, but when we sat down to speak about, you know, we did the consult for the business, you asked me, what's the pebble in the shoe? What bothers you the most? If you're walking, it's just irritating you. And it was trying to do too many things and leaving there exhausted and overworked. And it's kind of like, well, I don't have to do that. And it seems so obvious now, but at the time,
you can take the pebble out of your shoe anytime you want.
Yeah. But I think we're in this profession because we want to help people. So backing off and not feeling like I'm going 100 miles an hour, it felt like maybe I wasn't helping them. And I think I needed to step back and say, it's okay if I'm not, you know, super stressed all the time. I can get a slower pace and I can still help people. I can still take the pebble out of my shoe. They're probably going to get better care because I'm not tired and I can focus on things. But it was almost like I needed to hear it from someone like, that you don't have to work like that every day.
Like you needed permission.
Yeah, yeah.
Pull the rock out of your shoe. Like, I'm like, okay, here's your permission slip. You do that. What was the biggest fear for you in doing that and removing that thing that was irritating you, which is trying to do both, trying to combine visits and not feeling like you were giving good enough care or the right type of care, and being completely wiped out and exhausted at the end of the day. So when you realized that you needed to make a change, what was the fear behind that? Because there always is some apprehension, like, oh, yeah, what if?
Yeah, it was definitely patient reaction, because I didn't want people to think that, you know, I'm separating it to make more money. It wasn't that at all. But, you know, I knew there was going to be some people who weren't happy, and that was definitely the case. But when I started separating patients and noticing the difference and noticing how less stressed I felt, I mean, I felt so much better that I thought this is worth it. I kind of got to the point where I was like, they can be mad. I'm okay with it, because I know that this is the best thing for me. It's the best thing for the patient. They're going to get better care. And I think I also had to just be confident in telling them that, you know, if they come in and we're doing chiropractic, it's okay to say to them, you know what, I don't have time to do that today, but why don't you get on my schedule for a nutrition check, and we'll make sure we have the proper time to give you the attention it deserves. And, you know, that's all you can say to them. And no one can be mad when you say that, but it's that unknown. I've done things for the same way for so long, and people are used to coming to me and throwing everything at me. So it felt, I didn't want them to think it was me not caring or me trying to do less. You know, it wasn't that at all.
So what do you think made the biggest change in the way that you felt at the end of the day? You know, really, if you look at it, you're still doing the same work, mm-hmm. still doing the same things. In fact, you're probably doing more work chiropractically mm-hmm. than you were yeah. before, right?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you're doing the same type of functional consult. Mm-hmm. So why do you feel better now? Yet, if you look at it, you're still doing the same thing. What do you think mm-hmm. may helped your body be able to respond differently?
I think it's the expectation. When they come in, I know what we're doing. You know, when someone would come in for a joint appointment, I don't know, you know, is this going to be more of a chiropractic thing today? Or they're going to come in and they, you know, had food poisoning over the, you know, what's going to happen? But I'm still expected to fit everything in. When they're on my schedule for nutrition, I know what we're doing. I know what I have the time for. I know what I can get done in 15 to 20 minutes. But if I have to do multiple things, then I started to get a little bit like, okay, how am I going to do? How does this connect? Okay, yeah. What do I do first? So my brain was tired. When I know what they're coming in with, and I mean, I know how many muscles I can check in what amount of time. I know how long an adjustment takes. When I know what's coming in the door, I can manage the time better. Their expectations and mine are about the same, and it's just much easier.
And they really are getting the best version of you.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting yeah. the very best version of you. The version of you or any practitioner that's mentally taxed, you know, exhausted, tired, you're not sure what's going to walk through the door. I love that you made that clarification and distinction for yourself that you didn't know. They're on your point books, but what are they coming in for? Is it straight mm-hmm. chiropractic? Are you doing functional? Like, is it a hybrid? What are you doing? And it is exhausting. It is exhausting. So has your productivity changed at all?
Yeah, I feel like I could see more people in a day. I mean, I remember telling you on the phone, like, is there something wrong with me? Like, I feel like at 5 or 6 hours, I am done. Like, I can uh-huh. go home and do blood work and I can do that. But it's like the interacting and the talking and the thinking.
Yeah.
I knew what my max time was, but I feel like I could do more now just because there's not, you know, again, the expectation. If someone calls and like, hey, my back's hurting, can you fit me in? Yeah, I can handle that. But if they just call to get in and they want their back checked and their allergies, and I don't have time for that in that amount of time.
Yeah. And don't you just find, like, even saying it, I don't know if you can feel it, but I can just feel that, like, you even saying that, like, if you want to come in and I'm going to fix your back, great. There's such clear energy with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then you even mumbling those whole words together right there in that yeah. sentence, you can feel.
That's what it feels in my head.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You can feel the chaos of the whole thing, mm-hmm. even as you say the words. So how many practitioners out there? A lot of people struggle. I mean, I said that, like, they just struggle knowing how to separate. It's a common question that I get. It's like, well, how do I do it? Well, this is how you do it. You just separate it out. So do you do chiropractic only on certain days? Do you functional medicine on certain days? How do you do that?
I don't. I've heard a lot of people say that's the best thing to do, but I feel, you know, I have some patients that only have Fridays off, or I have several patients that travel all over Florida to see me. And, you know, if they're there, I don't want to, you know, say, oh, you can't do an adjustment today because it's Tuesday and this is my yeah. nutrition day. So yeah. I don't like to do that. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of like, you know, if I've had a busy morning doing blood work and all the nutrition, a chiropractic is an easy break. Easy. You know, my brain is like, okay, we're going to adjust. That's easy. I yeah. kind of like the breakup of the day. So yeah. I don't yeah. separate the days, but my assistant is very good. She knows how many, you know, We only do one nutrition exam a day. I don't do a bunch of, because that's a longer appointment.
Yep. Yeah.
So we limit it to one a day so that we can fit in adjustments and fit in follow-ups and things like that. So she's very good with my schedule. She knows, she's very good at kind of evening it out. So it's not all one thing or one.
That's such a good point too. And when you're busy like this, you really need somebody who's watching your back.
Oh yeah.
Because she's like air traffic control for you. Mm-hmm. She's telling when's a plane landing, when's a plane taking off. You know, who's taxiing, who's sitting out on the tarmac, who's waiting to come in, what's happening with the gates. Like, she's running air traffic control for you. And then so she's really managing your flow of energy throughout the day as well.
Yes. Yeah, that's very important to have someone who understands that for sure.
Yeah. What do you do with follow-ups? I'm just curious. Like, how often are your follow-ups with functional medicine and then with chiropractic's going to vary based on the person, but how does your front desk person, you, what do you like? And then how do you manage that follow-up at the front desk?
So their first appointment is longer. I do about an hour because I go over their blood work with them, we, you know, do the consultation, and then I do the muscle testing. You know, I'm also doing nutrition, like the zinc taste test and the calcium cuff test. I like people to have that, the objective that they can measure. Yep. So I'm doing a lot in the first visit. Mm-hmm. And about, you know, 30 days later, 4 to 6 weeks, somewhere, it depends on the patient, but probably 30 days is average. They'll come back and it's a 20-minute follow-up. I already know what points I'm checking. I already know what I'm looking for. I can scan it quickly and, you know, we adjust their supplements based off their symptoms, you know, redo the calcium cuff, redo the zinc, you know, all those Raglan, stuff like that, and come back in another 30 days. Occasionally, like I had a patient today, she had a lot going on and I said, I want to see you in 3 weeks. I want to make sure there's something changing. You know, I don't want to wait that long. So it's really person dependent, but for the most part, I say I give it about 30 days before, you know, I want to look for a change.
So as you were talking, I was thinking about how your niche, we'll call it, is just that you end up just working with all these digestive cases. Can you imagine what it would be like if on the functional side, because you said, you know, the chiropractic's easy. You could almost do it with your eyes closed, right? So easy. But on the functional medicine side, without having a predetermined lane to be in other words, your lane is kind of digestion. That's not to say you get a once in a while an outlier, but primarily your lane is digestive issues. Can you imagine what that would be like if you went from one patient who's a Lyme patient, the next patient's a fertility patient, the next patient is a RA patient, the next patient is a gut patient, the next patient is a brain inflammation patient, the next one is an Alzheimer's patient, the next one is another hormone patient. Talk about cerebral stress. I mean, and that's often what happens when we try and help everyone.
Yes.
It's exhausting because you can't ever spend the time to just be really good at one thing. You just be really good at that one thing. And I love that you've just kind of, by hook or crook, you just kind of found your spot. And you're like, oh, this is my zone. This is my lane. And I'm going to just keep doing this thing. And so how do you handle it? Do you say no to cases that are not digestive related? Or do you take everyone, but you just know that your reputation or what you're known for is more digestive cases?
Well, the other thing that we added into the practice was they have to apply to be a patient in the practice. So I made a form incognito. Yeah, I never thought I would do that. But, you know, as things change and your practice is growing, it's been really helpful. We have a link on the website, apply to be a patient. And if they call my assistant, she'll ask those same questions and type it in.
Yep.
You know, are you already working with somebody? Well, if you are, why are you coming here? You know, on too many cooks in the kitchen. Are you willing to make changes? Are you willing to take supplements? You know, there's some questions like that. And then, of course, what is your concern? So I will take other cases, but it does depend, you know, every once in a while, like if I get an active Lyme disease, you know, that's not my area. That's very complex. I might refer that out, but I do feel like, you know, I don't do any marketing. It's all internal referral. So I do feel like I get a lot, you know, of the similar type cases, you know, kids who are having issues with their gut. So, I mean, very rarely will I not take somebody, but you end up getting a lot of the same types of symptoms anyway.
Yep. I do love that. I love the, you know, being able to apply, you know, have someone apply, because it really does help you find that good fit. Because when you do have somebody that has, there's two cooks in the kitchen, or they say, oh, I've been everywhere. This is my favorite. I've been to everyone and no one can help me. And they just, oh, you're my last hope. Like, let's keep looking. Let's keep looking for somebody, because those are never, ever going to be good fits ever. So
Yeah. Or even just the supplements. Like, not every patient, I had a couple of patients, one of my questions is, are you vegan or vegetarian? Because not everyone wants to do standard process or doctor's research with the glandulars.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we've told them that up front, they're actually very thankful that we told them that, you know, don't spend the money and come to see me, then you're not going to take anything.
Right.
You know, just even little things like that can make a big difference.
What it does, and you've seen this, but it elevates your credibility and your trust, because people then know that they are safe with you in that you're going to be honest with them, because there's so many shystery people out there doing this work. There's a lot of them, just like we refer to in general as like snake oil salesmen. You know, they promise the world and then they don't get results. So when you do deliver the results and you know how to get a good outcome for the patient, then when you are really clear about your boundaries, people respect that. Even just in human beings, I really respect someone who says what they need. I need this. This is how it is to work with me. I'm like, okay, well, that works for me or it doesn't work for me, but thank you for being clear. So it just elevates you in the community with the people that refer to you. They're like, she's going to shoot straight with you. You don't have to ever worry about it. And it really positions you as being the authority. And it sounds like you've done a great job in your area. So are most of your people local or do they drive from out of?
They are, but I do have a lot that drive. You know, the mother lives here and the brother lives here. So I get, I think, you know, I have people that come up from the Keys to see me, and that's a good 6 to 8 hour drive.
It's a long drive.
Yeah. So I have a lot all over Florida, but a lot of them are local. You know, you get in with one of the moms and then all the mom, you know, so I see a lot of the kids at the little, the healthy school in the area. A lot of the kids come to me. So yeah, you end up seeing a lot of the holistic group in my area for sure.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And then before we wrap, I just want to touch on one more thing. You mentioned when you and I were on the phone, you know, you kind of talked about how your practice just was so busy that you were thinking you might want to add somebody. You weren't sure if you were going to add somebody, like you were kind of tossing that conversation around. I love that you kind of got really clear about getting the rock out of your shoe first. Not that hiring someone is a wrong thing to do or a right thing to do, because it's different for every single person. But very often, sometimes practitioners will say, oh, well, you know, I'm not doing well in my business, so I'm going to bring somebody else in. And I see this often. It's like a Band-Aid. Oh, well, I don't know how to do it. But if I bring someone else in, then maybe they're going to help me. But really, for you, whether you decide to hire somebody or not is irrelevant. But the bigger point was that you figured out what was not working, fixed that problem. And now, if you were going to have that conversation, or do you feel like you're in a position to hire somebody? What would you say now? Like, is it on the radar, off the radar for you? Like, what would you say?
It's interesting. I hadn't really thought of it. It's not really on the radar right now, because I think bringing someone in could have taken some of maybe the chiropractic stress off and seen people, but I still would have been doing double the protocols per visit and I still would have been exhausted. I still would have been burned out. It would not have fixed the problem. So now I'm in a place where I leave the office not feeling so drained and I feel like I could see more people. So at this point, I feel like I'm in a good place. And you know, putting up those boundaries, you know, you had said to me, when you have a wait list that's so long and you're clogging the pipe, that's not good either. So I did raise my prices a bit. We changed the protocols, you know, changed the structure. And I feel like I can get people in sooner. I can get them in more. So yeah, I feel like I'm in a good place now. I'm excited to see where the next year takes me, because I already can tell most people are switched over, but officially it starts on Friday and I already feel so much better.
I'm so glad.
So I'm very excited to see how it goes.
I'm so glad. Well, Katie, it has just been such a pleasure to chat with you. I knew you were going to give us tons of little good tips and nuggets. So thank you so much. It's just been my pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me and chatting with you.
Where can people connect with you?
I am on Instagram at dr.katiemalley, M-A-L-L-E-Y. And I don't use Facebook as much. I feel like they get a little bit more censored. So I never really used to use Instagram until the last few years, but I try to post on it. And actually, I feel like I wasn't very good with posting things. But now that I feel like I have a little time, Frida, you know, a little bit, I feel like I'm actually, that's my plan, is to go more into like the education and my posts and stuff like that. Maybe do some virtual health classes for patients. So that's kind of what I'm looking at. But that's probably what I'm the most active on is Instagram.
Instagram. Okay. Dr. Katie Malley on Instagram. And what's your website?
PathwaysToHealthFlorida.com. So pathways, the number 2, healthfl.com.
Nice. All right. Well, now we know where to go stalk you. Thanks, Katie. Thank you.
Thank you.
So what do you think? It was pretty awesome, right? She's just such a rock star, and you can tell why she's an amazing practitioner, because she thinks about it clearly. She figured out the rock in her shoe. I don't know if y'all got that, but in a conversation that her and I had, she said, things just aren't working and I need your help. And so we were on a business consultation and I said, what's the rock in your shoe? What's the thing that you step on every day? And it's just annoying. It's just irritating. It's like that pebble in there or the sticker in your shoe. You just can't every day, every step you take, it's irritating. What is the number one pebble in your shoe? What's the rock in your shoe that's making you miserable? And the thing is, you can fix it. You can take the rock out of your shoe anytime you want. Why be miserable? If it's not working for you in your practice, then find a different way. Do something different. Create a different way of seeing patients. And that was what she decided to do, as you heard. So Katie's just such an inspiration. She's an inspiration to me. She's inside a clinical academy. And she told me after we were done with the interview, she said, oh my gosh, like clinical academy has been a game changer for me, because you can tell she's such an avid learner. And so that's where she got so much clinical advice and continues to. It's kind of like, think of clinical academy like Netflix for your functional medicine practice. You basically get to go in and find the things that you want on demand. And that's what she said that she loved. And it's contributed to her ability to be very successful as a functional medicine practitioner, but also stay in the easy lane for her, which is doing the structural chiropractic work as well. So as you know, we are right in the middle of talking about Clinical Business Academy. And if you are the practitioner that wants more out of your business, you really feel like you're probably not being paid well enough for what you do, but your practice has also kind of got you hamstringed a little bit. There's always more to do than you have enough time to do. And you might even be feeling overwhelmed, just overwhelmed at the thought of, where do I start? What needs to happen first? What systems do I need in place? How do I organize this? How do I set up follow-ups? What are the things that I need to do to make the business run more efficiently? And when your practice runs more efficiently, you have more time. And as Katie said, then you can see more people. That brings more revenue in the practice, and it lets you go home and not feel exhausted at night. And that's what Clinical Business Academy will do for you. So I'm here as your coach, your business coach, not only in the clinical side, but in Clinical Business Academy, I'm going to help you create a business that does not make you crazy at the end of the day. I'm going to help you get all the things in place in your business so that you actually have a life that you love, and you can be a business owner and be really proud that you're a great clinician and an awesome business owner. So all you have to do is go to rhondanelson.com/CBA and apply to join. It's not a good fit for everyone, but if you are seeing patients, okay, if you already have taken yourself into a situation where you already have patients, then CBA could be a good option for you. Who's not a good fit is the person who's still applying for their LLC. Not my people. Sorry. You got to get a few people happening in the door, coming, working. You know, you've got some traction there. So go to rhondanelson.com/CBA. And I can't wait to talk with you. Take care. See you next week.